Happy St. Patrick's Day. So today's talk is titled, Dare to be Great. You already are. And how this came to me, about 3 weeks ago, I was looking through our speaker series guide. And I found me, because I always look for me first. And the person the week before, last Sunday, was Reverend Kevin Bass. And this sentence got to me. It said, he's shared the speaking stage with His Holiness the Dalai Lama, President, and President Nelson Mandela. And my first thought was, holy smoke! Actually, that wasn't my first thought, but it was like, how am I going to follow that? How am I going to be on stage with the same stage with someone who had been on the stage with the Dalai Lama? Right? I mean, I want to be a spiritual leader. How the heck am I going to follow that? And then President Mandela, who is throughout history, one of the most powerful civic rights leaders and spiritual leaders. How am I going to follow that? I mean, who am I? Right? I mean, like, I had to pay hundreds of dollars to stand next to these two dudes. And if you don't know who they are, that's Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, some 49er greats. Right?
Who's the other guy in 61?
Someone I don't recognize, I'll tell you that much. Right? But, so I had to calm down and realize that I am me and that nobody can express God the way I can express God. Right? Now, if you know anything about the Unity Path, we believe that God or the divine being or oneness is within us, right? And if God is everywhere at every moment, then He's in every molecule 100%. And if He's in every molecule on the planet 100%, then He's within us or she's within us 100%. And so, since nobody can express God like me, right? I mean, Bette Midler can't express God the way Zoe or Lisa can, right? Elton John can't express God like Tyler can, right? We're all unique. And it is our spiritual responsibility to be who we are on this planet. I mean, we all have the goodness within us to do that. And if we don't do that, we could leave a dial tone life. I don't hear many laughter because we must have a lot of young folk here, right? So dial tone is when the phone was in our house. And you pick it up. And you would hear, you know, just this constant static, right? That's what our lives could be if we don't express who we are, if we stuff that, right? And so one of the major blocks from us being ourselves is what I think is one of the most powerful part of ourselves. And that's our self-critic. Right? Some people call it the saboteur or the committee if you're of 12-step ilk, right? So call out some names to me, what you have named as inner critic.
Gremlin?
Demon?
The judge?
Yeah, right? Nice. Anybody else? There you go. I like that one. Mine's Worf. And if you don't know who Worf is, do you know Star Trek? The USS Enterprise? Well, Worf is the security officer, and he's a Klingon. And they're a race of warriors, right? And so here's the security chief who it's his job to keep the ship safe. So every time they meet a new alien or new species, the first thing he wants to do is blow them up. Right? Because that's his job. He was raised to be a warrior. He doesn't know anything different. But on that bridge, there's a lot of other folk who have jobs. There's the captain, there's the first officer, there's the pilot, there's the navigator, there's a communications officer. There's a lot of other folks, right? And so if we look at us that way, right? So how many have a really powerful inner critic? Like when that inner critic comes up, there's nothing else in the world. It's just his inner critic, right? And some have give their inner critic less power than others, right? So Charles Fillmore brought forth through his consciousness the 12 powers. And these 12 powers, these are, and today they may be called the 12 spiritual attributes, right? So all these here, listed here, are what we go through life with the spiritual powers that we can use all the time to express God. And so I'm gonna dare to be great here, and I'm gonna edit the 12 powers into the 13 powers. Okay? And I say add that inner critic, add that dwarf to that list, because the inner critic or dwarf is just as important and just as powerful as these 12 powers. Now, you really need to hear this, because your inner critic is not any more powerful than any of these on the list. Right? We may forget these positive spiritual attributes when that critic is up, right? Because we tend to believe it. Right? We tend to believe when he says those things like, you're not good enough, or I told you so. God, my parents. Sorry. When I used to get hurt, right, sometimes they would say, well, told you so. Or did this one I just got over a couple years ago. Just got over, yeah, it took a while. And it is, you get what you deserve. Right? I mean, for me, that had a negative connotation for 64 years of my life. And I'm only 53. But that's how much power I gave it. Right? And so I'm really beginning to see that inner critic is a positive thing in my life, right? So one of my favorite memories is when I was in high school back in the last century, and we had this English teacher who I can't remember anything about learning English from him, but learning about life, right? And one of my classmates asked him, why do we have nerves? Because they hurt. And he said, well, if you put your hand on a hot stove, and if you didn't have nerves, 5 minutes later, you wouldn't have a hand left, right? Because it'd be burned off. And that just stuck with me my whole life, right? That's the same thing as the inner critic. The inner critic, it's not nice, right? It doesn't build you up. It doesn't say, Ron, you're going to give a wonderful talk today, and the Dalai Lama is just going to be impressed. That's not what he says. You know, my inner critic says, boy, those people at 9:30 really liked your talk, but you're gonna flunk out at the 11:30. It's still here. Jiminy Christmas. But I also know, I know more now that I have more than just the inner critic, that the inner critic is just part of the committee, right? And a committee includes imagination. It includes strength. It includes power. It includes love. It includes imagination. It includes faith. I mean, that's a lot of power, right? I think they can handle the inner critic. And so one of the things I wanted to do today is demonstrate Dare to be Great, because I'm talking about it. Well, I'm doing Dare to be Great right now, right? Because I've been doing these talks for about 10 years. And when I first started giving talks, I wanted to have at least 3 or 4 quotes or sayings from books so to confirm that what I was saying was true, right? And then in the past few years, it's been a little less books. It's not about confirming what I was saying is true as much as enhancing what I was saying was true, right? So today is the first day that I'm flying solo, right? I'm not using any quotes, because I know what I'm saying is true for me, right? Yo, bro. And so to stand here in front of you and know that what I'm saying is the truth, and not having to go to Charles Fillmore or Myrtle or the Dalai Lama or whomever, right? Is I know that I'm expressing God right now, right? And that I've overcome the inner critic that I had sitting there at 10:29 saying, you're going to flunk this, right? So, and we all have that capacity within us. You know, I'm not up here to be anybody else but me. I got to get over this, right? I got to get over that more people like the Dalai Lama and Nelson Mandela know more than me, because they don't, right? And it's like I said earlier, if God is 100% within you, then the Dalai Lama or Nelson Mandela or any other great person doesn't have any more wisdom and imagination and courage and strength and power than you do. Amen? Amen. Yo, bro?
Yo, bro?
Yo, bro?
Yo, bro?
Yeah. So I really think, and I really want to say to you that your inner critic is a loving, caring part of you. Really weird to hear, isn't it? That this part of you that tells you you can't do it. You're not good enough. No way, Jose, right? Is a loving, caring person. But they are. It's because that's part of us. We would burn off our hands if we didn't have that inner critic, right? It's like, so love is one of our attributes, right? How many people have used love without using wisdom and got a good powerful lesson, right? Because you need wisdom with love, right? Or vice versa, right? Let's go back to the Star Trek theme, right? There was this episode of Star Trek where they have this transporter on the Enterprise where you can beam down to a planet and they beam up, right? So Captain Kirk goes down to the planet, comes back up, but he's split in two. And they don't know this on the ship. So he's split in two, and all his wisdom and love and caring gets the first part. And the second part, with all his animal instincts, is now roaming around the ship, right? And he's causing havoc, right? And Captain Kirk, the loving, the caring, the wisdom part, is facing this dangerous alien ship, And he can't make any decisions what to do until they get both of him back together, put him back in the transport and bring him back up, and he's a whole person. And now he can deal with what he has to deal with. You know, that's like us, right? And I think if we separate our inner critic, our security chief, our chief of staff, right, the person who's supposed to keep us safe, if we separate that out from all the other spiritual attributes, we're missing something, right? We're missing wisdom and strength and power, right? But if we bring them together, then we're whole. And that's where we can express ourselves. You know, it's our spiritual responsibility. And if you didn't believe that, I don't think you would be sitting here, right? But it's our spiritual responsibility to be who we are. And so we can share that with our brothers and sisters. Can you take that in? Yeah? You hear that? That you're supposed to be who you are to change the world or to bring peace into the world. We all have that ability. And it's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be, you know, I got to confess this. I've never said this out in public. I'm not a reader, okay? I've tried to read books, especially in Unity. They want you to read lots of books, okay? I've got hundreds of dollars worth of books that I've read about half of them. You know, and I'm not. I just not. So I have to let myself be a non-reader, right? And so maybe sometime this week you can something might come up that you need to let go and that everybody else loves, but you need to let it go because it doesn't serve expressing the God within you, right? When I was when I got sober 32 years ago, speaking of Nelson Mandela in prisons, right? So he was in prison for 27 years. And I think of that. I mean, who am I? I mean, just like I haven't been through anything like that. Well, the fact is I was in prison for 32 years, right? When I got sober a long time ago, I started to realize that for the first portion of my life, I was a prisoner in my own heart, right? I was a prisoner because I can picture me standing at the cell door with my hands on there, watching life go by, watching people go by, watching love go by. And as I started to walk this path without alcohol, I felt a presence, and I turned around, and Jesus is sitting there. And I said, well, when did you get here? He said, I was here the whole time. You just didn't know it. Now, just a sidebar. In Unity, we look at Jesus differently. Okay? We look at Jesus as the example, not the exception. Okay? As one of our former assistant ministers called Jesus, our older brother. Right? And so we look to him as a guide, but not as anything above that. And that's how I look at him. And the reason why Jesus is sitting in that cell is because I grew up Catholic, and so Jesus has been with me since day one. You know, Jesus used to be a stone wall between me and God, and now he's walking beside me, moving towards God. Right? And so I told Jesus, I said, Jesus, I want to get out of here. I don't want to be here anymore. He goes, well, open the door. I go, I can't open the door. I'm in prison. It's locked. He goes, no, it's not. It's never been locked. And I pushed the door open. Right? And that's when I started to express who I was. When I started to be part of life and I started to be be walked side by side with my brothers and sisters. And so, going back, okay, so I got another half an hour or so. I got more stuff to say. But just the last thing I wanted to say is that, taking us back to the song, The Rose, right? So the last verse, just remember in the winter, far beneath the bitter snow, lies the seed that with your love every day becomes the rose. Right? So the seed of the rose is about yay big, right? And so when we remember with our love every day, we can blossom that seed into the rose. Well, if you look at the seed of an oak tree, an acorn, it's about this big, right? Yes, so. And that acorn turns into a mighty oak tree. Right? Well, that oak tree can never be a rose. And that rose can never be an oak tree. But both bring love, peace, warmth, goodness, into our planet, just as powerfully as the other one, right? So that's what I want you to leave with today. Whether you're a rose, whether you're an oak tree, whether you're seaweed, right? Right? It doesn't matter. It's if that's who you are, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. And when your purpose joins our purpose, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So we have an affirmation for you. And the affirmation is, I express greatness. So please do yourself a wonderful and beautiful favor and express greatness. Mm-hmm.